You know, I feel like I've interviewed you about these issues before because when I was at KRMG and you run office, I interviewed you once or twice a month. By the way, I tell everybody you were the most interesting and entertaining of all my interviews. You had the great opening to our interview. Here you are, the governor, having fun with this. I don't know if you remember how it went, but you'd say, under the beleaguered, besieged city of Oklahoma City. Do you remember that pattern?
Yeah,
can you redo it?
It was, we got a Morse code, beep, 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 and it was, we're beaming the truth into the occupied city.
Right.
And the occupied city was Tulsa, dominated. You know, it was kind of like Pyongyang. There's only one voice, which was a voice not of reason and not of excellence, but it was basically a low wattage voice of the Tulsa world. It was the, what was we called it? The monopolistic newspaper. Remember that?
Yeah.
But I mean, it was fun. I mean, you might as well have a laugh. It was Radio Free Oklahoma beaming into the occupied city,
right,
which was Tulsa.
Right. There hasn't been any.
The Lortons were not happy.
There hasn't been anybody who has been as creative or as fun to do that. Because you did become involved in national politics. You campaigned for President George Bush in 2000. You're on the short list to be Bush's running mate before Bush actually chose Dick Cheney.
Right.
I will say the story has been that Dick Cheney was in charge of finding possible candidates, and then somehow he became it. Do you have a story there?
Well, what's interesting, there's a book by a guy named Ron Gelman, which you ought to read sometime, called Angler. That was Cheney's call name as vice president. The Secret Service referred to him as Angler. But anyway, Ron Gelman won the Pulitzer Prize, by the way, and wrote a book called Angler. The first two words of chapter one are Frank Keating. And the whole chapter is on me, which really stunned me. And I read it, and I couldn't believe it. The selection process by Cheney, you know, Bush put him in charge. Guess who his staff was? Cheney's staff, according to Gelman, who won the Pulitzer Prize, was Cheney's daughter and son-in-law. All of the others who could have been selected were found wanting. Not only that, but those others were pretty well purged. Cheney didn't want anyone around the president that could have a negative impact on him and his authority and ability to rule. That's the thesis of Angler. And Gelman wrote a hell of a book. I read that, and it's really kind of sad because I think Cheney was an awful vice president. George Bush, I didn't vote for him in 2002. I couldn't. I could not vote for him.
Did you vote?
No, I just skipped it and went on to the next, you know, the Senate and House.
So you haven't voted for a Democrat for president then? You just skipped it?
No, I don't know about that. I don't remember. Maybe not. I just don't remember. But I've always supported legislative races and stuff. I had no problem with Congress voting for a Democrat. But in the case of Bush, to bankrupt the country and fight a war in Iraq that I never felt was wise, it just was awful. Think about this, because I'm chairman of the board of Mount Vernon, the advisory board of Mount Vernon. From 1789 to 2000, from George Washington's first term to the start of George Bush's term, the country amassed $5 trillion national debt. From the start of George W. Bush to the end of George W. Bush in 8 years, 217 years versus 8 years, it was doubled from 5 to 10, and this guy's added another 7. So the country's on an unsustainable fiscal path. Bush was the architect of it all. Oh.
Was Bush or was Cheney?
Well, who knows?
If Cheney was not the vice president, do you think we would have ended up in Iraq?
I don't know. I mean, I would have been of the view that we should not. We should focus on Afghanistan. Now, was that unwinnable? Who knows? But at the time, that's where the problem came from. But in my view, Iraq, from minute one, I would have said to the president, didn't ask my opinion, we never should invade a country that's not a direct threat to us. You can say, well, they are. They got weapons of mass destruction. Well, don't the North Koreans? We're not invading them. The Cubans probably have a lot of mischief down there. We don't invade them. I mean, there's only so much you can do.
And then it turns out they didn't have weapons of mass destruction.
Right. Yeah.
When Mitt Romney ran, were you considered for anything with
him? Interestingly, I had dinner the night of the inaugural ball of Obama. I had dinner with John McCain's mother, who said, by the way, the best education I ever heard of anyone receiving and the best I could have possibly received was in Muskogee Public Schools. Can you imagine that being said today? Mrs. McCain was born in Muskogee. I mean, that's what she said. She was just, those schools were the best ever. Are they still? And I said, no. But in any event, while I was leaving the dinner, there were like 12 of us at dinner. Poor John, I feel sorry for him because I really worked hard for him.
For John McCain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said, hey, Frank, I want you to know something. What's that? He said, if I were elected, I was going to make you attorney general. And I said, can you put that in writing? He said, why do you want it in writing? I said, I want it for the old bit. And he laughed, and we had a good laugh. Romney is a very fine guy, but I just, you know, I've met with him several times, gave my views of things, but there was never, I mean, on the Catholic stuff, he wanted me to help, and that's fine. It's kind of easy, but I didn't have the same feeling of warmth and affection. Romney was a business guy. I mean, he's a hard guy.
Is he different from what we saw him on the campaign and speaking than as you saw him apparently on
one-on-one?
Yeah,
I think he's much more personal and open, but he was very tightly controlled. You know, he's a private equity guy, and how does that compute, you know, as opposed to saying that doesn't make any sense? Yeah, but factually it does. No, it doesn't. I mean, well, I don't know, but it doesn't sound right, you know.
You were considering presidential bid yourself, I believe, in 2008.
Well, I had a number of people ask me to go down to South Carolina and give a talk, which I did. But my feeling was, where was I going to get $30 or $50 million overnight? I mean, you know, I just thought, why should I bankrupt Kathy and the kids? I did know one thing, that someone was going to ask me somewhere, somehow, about Bush. And I think George W., you know, he's right up there with James Buchanan. It was a very, very disappointing presidency. I'm a social and economic conservative, but I thought Bush was a terrible mistake. And this guy's a terrible mistake, in my opinion.
When you say this guy, you mean President Obama. Mm-hmm. The state of the Republican Party today, and we have the Tea Party, who seems to be opposing most any legislation that comes along. Is it your view that the party is going to have to become more moderate, come closer to the center? Or how do you see this playing out?
Well, I think there's no question minorities, women, and young people are key constituencies of any political party that you belong to. I mean, we only have two parties in this country. Latinos, I think, are fairly easy because if we can get immigration reform done, where you do have a secure border and you have a process of citizenship and you have H-1B visas and the like, you do like the Mexicans do in Canada, where they have temporary work permits and everybody wants to go back to Mexico. If I'd paid my life savings to crawl through that five wire fence, I told Valerie Jarrett and all the crowd of the White House just about a month ago, to come into that five wire fence and I take my life savings to pay some guy, you think I'm ever going to go back? Where am I going to get another life savings? So I'm going to stick it out here, no matter how miserable. If you had a temporary work permit, you'd go do the apple picking or whatever and go back home and come back in and go back home. That'd be fine. Latinos are generally evangelical Christians. They are pro-life. They're hardworking. They're not here for welfare. They're here to work. They're a natural Republican constituency. Gay situation is a little bit different. I mean, I just, as a Catholic, I just, states ought to be able to handle that. There shouldn't be one size fits all because, you know, New Hampshire is much more of a liberal state than Oklahoma. Oklahoma would, certainly in this generation, not go for gay marriage. Maybe 50 years from now they might, or 20, something like that. But, you know, that's another deal. On the social issues, I'm a pro-life person. Rape and incest save the life of the mother were always exceptions in the pro-life community. Now they're not exceptions. Well, can you imagine if your daughter's raped and you have to see this child through the full term? You know, Kathy told me, she said, you know, I'm pro-life, but she said, whatever happened to the rape and save life from other exceptions? If I were raped and I had to have that baby to term, every time it kicked, that guy would rape me again. So I told Ralph Reed that, and he said, God, I hadn't thought of it that way. And I said, well, it's true. But anyway, I think that debate has to be joined. I don't know about your family, but my kids, the girls are more tolerant. Boys are, like, Chip's pretty hard down conservative on some of this stuff. But girls are much more tolerant of lesbian behavior. Men, you know, I chair the Catholic Review Board, and it was this horror show. And those are not pedophiles. They were actively practicing homosexuals who went after those boys.
You were talking about the priests in the Catholic Church. You got in trouble with your church there, too, because you referred to them as Cosa Nostra.
Yeah, I made the comment, which Cardinal Mahoney thought I was talking about him, and I didn't know that he was a problem, but he was. You know, we're not La Cosa Nostra. We're a faith community. We're open, transparent. We tell all. And I didn't choose my board. You know, Leon Panetta was on my board, Bob Bennett, the lawyer. Transparency, zero tolerance, and criminal referral. That's what I did. And some of these guys didn't like that. But anyway, I'm a stronger Catholic today than even before then. But all these issues, to your point, need to be thoroughly debated and discussed. I'm not afraid of debate.